Right, so we're looking at our authority in his name. So Mark chapter 16 again tonight. This week we'll be spending majorly introducing Mark chapter 16. And I'm going to read from verse 14. And afterward he appeared unto the 11. This is after he rose from the dead, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So we're looking at our authority in his name. That phrase, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. That is a statement of authority. That means there are some things that accrue that belong to anyone who has been immersed in what Jesus accomplished. So when you hear in my name, it's not the same way we have a nomenclature that we refer to. What is your name? My name is Shegun. What's your name? My name is Tola. When we say name with respect to biblical perspective, we're talking about the person's fame, the person's reputation, the person's accomplishments. So when Jesus said, in my name, that is a short form of explaining all that took place in the 3 days that he went to hell and he came back and ascended to the Father's right hand. That's a short form of it. You notice the scripture says that he obeyed for the unbelief, and then the next verse now says that he said unto them, go into all the world. So we said Mark did not fully tell us what Jesus said to them after he rebuked them. He rebuked them for their unbelief. In this case, he was rebuking them because some people had come to testify to them that he was risen, and they still did not believe. So we see that at this time they were stark unbelievers. All of them were stark unbelievers. And that's understandable. I mean, we can understand why they ran away. Because the name of Jesus in the four Gospels said nothing about his resurrection. And that's why we need to ensure we understand the difference between the two. Because when we think Jesus is just D-E-S-U-S, we will never walk in the fullness of what he has made available for us. That's important. That's important. One of the earliest books I read about the wonderful name of Jesus was E.W. Kenyon. And one of the illustrations he gave there was about a particular woman that was dying in penury. Haven't worked for a family for close to 50 years of her life. And she was dying in penury because her master died. And so, close to the time, she was sick. She didn't have money to take care of herself. She didn't have any savings, nothing whatsoever. And she was alone by herself. And then, you know, some people heard about her and came to see whether they could assist her. And when they were ransacking through her things, they saw a particular plaque that had been given to her that she put on the wall. She put it on the wall. It was something she was proud of. And then they asked her, what is this for? He said, well, this plaque was given to me by my master before he died. No, in honor of my years of service. And discovered that she would frame a certificate that actually signified all the inheritance, the money the man had bequeathed to her. And she didn't know what it was. And she just framed it on the wall. And she had been enriched all this while she was suffering. She framed it. Her ignorance cost her. By the time they discovered how rich she was close to death. There was little time for her to enjoy the benefits. And you know, that's how many believers are. They walk through the earth, and their famous scripture is, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. When will you leave the valley of shadow? I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why are you embracing the valley of the shadow of death when he brought you into the light? He called you out of darkness into where? His marvelous light. So when we look at the name, I want you to listen as though you've not really heard before, because again, the disciples had been familiar with Jesus for 3.5 years. Yet when Jesus rose from the dead, hardly could they recognize him. And Jesus did something phenomenal. Jesus did not count on them believing and recognizing him just by physically seeing him. There was a role that they were meant to play by physically recognizing Jesus. They were meant to be eyewitnesses of his resurrection. That was the role. The 12 were chosen for that purpose. Okay? 12 minus 1, 11. And then they added another one in Acts chapter 1, who was also an eyewitness. That is, they were meant to testify, not just by the authority of scriptures, but that they were physically present when he rose from the dead. Say amen. So beyond that Jesus did something phenomenal. Notice, when he said, go into all the world, this was the second time he was asking them to go. But the going in the first dimension was different from this other dimension. Because whatever Mark did not tell us, Luke now begins to fill in the gap. And it is in the details that understanding comes. Let me say it again. It is in the details that understanding is arrived at. You arrive at understanding when you know the details. Hallelujah. You know, if you have a car that starts slowly or doesn't make any sound, or you are used to vehicles that you need a key to start it, the day they give you a car that needs only your thumbprint or a voice command, you are confused. So you have a key, you are looking, you are even looking for where to insert the key. There's nowhere to insert the key. So you say they made a mistake. They didn't make a mistake. You need to upgrade. So you are now wondering what kind of car that doesn't have key. I mean, I saw a documentary about the car. Even the steering comes out by voice command. I said, I don't know which year they will release on. The steering, it will come out by voice command. You know, you can't steal it. You cannot steal it because no two voices are the same. There are decibels in human voices that is registered. So the only problem is that may the person not lose his voice. Because if that voice is lost, even himself will be locked out of. You know, the houses now that your door opens to you by voice command. You know where we are going now. But that technology that science is catching up with already exists in the spirit. Now, let me say it again. That technology that they are coming up with now, that a man can stand in Nigeria and in the name of Jesus deal with a problem in Asia. So that as though there is no distance, the airwaves, the name has authority over a phone line. A command is given and demons respond on the other side. And sickness leaves the name of Jesus. So when we're studying it, what we're studying, listen, we're studying what has been given to us. We're studying our inheritance. It is ours. Say it is ours. Say it belongs to me. That's why, listen carefully, during this fast, one of the things that will change your life and your Christian walk is that when you're praying, take time to consistently confess God's word. Take time. Something has to change in the coming year. Something has to change. It can't be business as usual, spiritually speaking. You must be able to produce supernatural results. And there's no point having an account loaded that you can't withdraw from. Why would you have an account? I mean, God has made you a savior in the Savior. And then when the Savior now needs salvation, you know it's a problem. So the one who is given to the world as a savior, you are given as a gift. We are missionaries. We are ambassadors for all Christ. Ambassador means that in the embassy you belong to, you don't need a visa to the embassy. If you are acting like somebody that needs a visa, you know that your ambassadorial position is questionable. Or status is questionable. So that's the principle. These were the people Jesus was counting on. These were the people he handpicked. So Jesus took time to let them see the difference between how he related with them in the four Gospels. Their faith in the four Gospels is different from the faith they should have now. So, Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 25. He began to teach. So, this is what Mark didn't record for us, that Luke now begins to educate us. Luke 24 and verse 25. Are we there? It says, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have what? Spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to come enter into his glory? So notice, to enter into his glory. That was impossible in the four Gospels. So what was possible? Christ's suffering is possible. Who is Christ? The Messiah, the promised one. But to enter into his glory is another phase entirely. And it says, they ought to have believed all that the prophets have spoken. So within the prophets, the suffering was written, but the glory was also written. Not just the suffering. So here's the issue. What was their faith? Their faith was not even for suffering. Their faith was in the incarnation. And we have to know that his name in the incarnation or his office is different from his office at the resurrection. Only he could come from the incarnation. All of us came from the resurrection. Is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, and that grace is the truth. Many times in the four Gospels, the Spirit of God affirmed, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's incarnation. He gave his only begotten Son, that's incarnation. When you see the only begotten, that's incarnation. Only he could come from the incarnation. But all of us and all men can come from the resurrection. So there's a difference. So when he says, all fools are slow of heart to believe, ought not Christ to have suffered this thing. So that statement means that if you had put the facts together, you'll have arrived at why I suffered, So you will have seen the process unfolding step by step. And because you read it up to the point where I will enter into my glory, you will have been expecting me to come from the dead. Let me say it another way. The minute Jesus was arrested, both in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, Luke 22, in each situation, the disciples fled. Why did they run? They were surprised. They were caught off guard. The miracle worker, the healer, the one that said they will save the world, they have captured him. So to them, that was the end. But look at what Jesus was saying. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and what the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures what? The things concerning himself. It's as though he extracted. What was the substance what he extracted? He showed them the suffering. He also showed them the glory that was promised. So for instance, now, obviously, he must have read Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16, verse 8. He must have read Psalm 16 because all the prophets, and one of the prophets is who? David, one of the prophets. Look at Psalm 16. Look at verse 8. I've said the Lord always before me, because I'm a righteous man, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my what? Glory rejoices. That's my substance rejoices. My flesh also shall rest. You know, my flesh shall rest. So, as he was going down, Jesus was at rest. My flesh shall rest in an expectation. There is something that is going to spring up from this death. The death is not the final curtains. The death is a means to an end. My flesh therefore shall rest in an expectation. What's the expectation? You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you what? Suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. What's the path of life? You will raise me from the dead. You will show me the path of life in thy presence. What's his presence? That's the glory of God. In that resurrection, there's fullness of joy. And what? At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So he says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded. He began to explain through the scriptures the things concerning himself. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. So when you're going through now and you see some things that happen, remember that in Matthew chapter 10, we had already seen that Jesus gave them power and authority over unclean spirits. And so they went about preaching the gospel. What gospel did they preach? The kingdom of God is at hand. And it says, as you go, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, do what? Raise the dead. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 8 that we saw yesterday, isn't it? So Matthew chapter 16 now, look at the question Jesus is asking. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Why was he asking the question? You guys just came back from a missionary trip. When you were going, what did you go to do? You were healing the sick. You were raising the dead. You were casting out devils. As you were going, what were they saying that I am? Now, this is important because who do men say that I am? You can also say, who do men pray that I am? When men are praying, how are they relating with me? How did they see me? What's their perception? Then disciples began to, you don't notice, who do men? So the disciples now began to respond one by one. He said, and he said, some say that you have done the baptism, maybe because their message was a bit similar. He says, others say Elias, because of the signs and wonders. And then the one that I don't understand, he said, and then one of the prophets said unto them, but who say you that I am? As Simon Peter said, that was what? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at Jesus' response. Jesus said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood. So the others spoke by observation. You spoke by what? Revelation. Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some people say you are Jeremiah the prophet. I don't know how that one correlates, because he was known as the weeping prophet. His ministry was in weeping. So in it says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not been with you, but my Father which is where? In heaven. When you hear heaven, what does heaven represent again? The unseen. So this came by revelation, which is suddenly your eyes were open to see the scriptures. You now know that this is the promised Messiah that stands in front of you. But that was the extent of Peter's revelation. So look at what Jesus now said. Now that you have known, listen carefully, because in each of the gospels, Jesus always tried to explain to them that certain things are a means to an end. The Jews celebrated him as the Messiah, the one to come, but they didn't understand the pathway of God. They didn't understand that God's kingdom is spiritual. And that's why many times when he worked miracles, they forcibly came to take him, to make him king. They didn't understand that his kingdom was not the kingdom of this world. And let me say this also. But we want to bring God into politics, we will have problems. None of the apostles did it. None of the apostles gave a lecture on nationhood. So we will not do it in this church. None of them said that everybody, can you get involved in politics? Yes. As a citizen, yes. Will you ever see me pre-politics? God forbid. The gospel is too sacred. Too sacred. Beyond politics of any nation. It's not a democracy. The gospel has nothing to do with being a Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. It has nothing to do with all those things. It's only Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. So we have to be careful that we don't miss those things. No, speak to those in authority. Who sent you? There was oppression in the days of the apostles. How come they didn't take a delegate and go to Herod? Or didn't take a delegate and go to Pontius Pilate? And go to Caesar? They didn't form a delegate. And they were within that system. They didn't. They just. What were they doing? They were dealing with the real forces that meant to contend with. That is, they were trying to rescue the soul of men from darkness. Hallelujah. And they knew that they were equipped with right weapons. And it's not political power, it's spiritual power. Glory to God. It said, so, notice what Jesus said. He said, verse 18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon what? This rock. What was the rock? What Peter said. The revelation. What's the revelation? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. What is the purpose of the Son? The Son is to die in order to raise a family for God. So this is the incarnation. And then Jesus now began to speak about the resurrection. He says, and upon this rock, I will build my what? Church. That is, I will establish my church. And the real force to contend with are the gates of hell, which is what I say, the gates of death. I will build my church. I will found my church. And the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Look at the next verse. And I will, futuristic promises. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now, in the Greek, when you hear keys, it's not that there are five keys or seven keys. The word there is access to the kingdom. That is, my resurrection is your access into the kingdom. So the keys there simply means access. My resurrection is your access to the kingdom. Access to what? All the supernatural resources of authority. All resources of authority you'll ever need. My resurrection is your access into those things. Remember, at this point in time, they could cast out devils. They should heal the sick. They could raise the dead. What couldn't they do? To cast out the demon means to stop demonic oppression in man's life, but they couldn't save any man from Satan's clutches permanently. Because the real problem was sin in man's life. That was the real problem. So, he said, again, see what it says. It says, I say unto you now, Peter, and upon this rock I will establish my church, I will fund my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail again, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom, I will give you access to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall what? Bind where? Where are you? Where are you? Now, pay close attention now. On earth shall be bound where? In heaven. And whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. In other words, I will bring heaven to where you are. Hallelujah. I will bring heaven into your space. So you will be here on earth, but you'll be able to operate in heaven or in the unseen. You'll be able to deal with the unseen with ease. I will bring heaven into your space. That's what it means. Hallelujah. That's what he said. I will bring heaven into your space. Now, let me jump all the way to verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again. Can you see that? What does it mean to rise again and be raised again? So Jesus began to show. Notice they did not accept the fact that he will need to die. But by the time he tells you, I will build my church and the gates of hell, he has already implied that he's going to die. Because the gates of hell is actually the gates of what? Death. He has implied he's going to die. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell will not prevail means death will not have a final say. What was Jesus trying to tell them? I'm the only begotten now, but I will no longer be the only begotten. So I will build my church. So there will be a body now from that resurrection. I will found my church. And in that establishment, the gate of hell will not prevail again. Say amen. Again, notice the tenses. He didn't say, I'll be building, I'm building, I'm building, I'm building, I'm building. No, that's not the tense. He didn't say, I'll keep building. He built once. He rose once. He established it once. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell did not prevail. That's why he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. So his name, when he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Men knew him by observation. They had seen the woman with the issue of blood. They had seen blind Bartimaeus. Look at blind Bartimaeus. Let me show you. Somebody says, "Where is it?" I'm also asking, "Where is it?" Should I into you out of the goodness of my heart? Because I'm born again. Blind Bartimaeus in Zephaniah. Your laughter is full of unbelief. Have you checked Zephaniah already? You just don't believe it's there. Okay, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Glory to God. Notice, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So, what is my name? How do men perceive me? What's my reputation? Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho, with disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when they had heard that it was who? What did he hear? Jesus of what? Nazareth. So, did he know who was passing by? Did he know who was passing by? Yes, he did. He had. So, say this way, there was a particular message about Jesus that was going around. So, he heard commotion. He was blind. He could hear, but he couldn't see. So, obviously, he must have asked. And then he must have heard people mentioning the name. Notice, when he heard about Jesus, he began to cry out, "Where is Bartimaeus' faith? Heal him." Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Somebody notorious for healing. That is his name. That is his fame. That's what his reputation is about. He began to cry out. Notice the platitudes. And you know, people think that when you use platitudes, I hope you know what platitudes are. Okay, you don't know what that is. Okay. Let me say more praise names. You know, when you use praise names, praise chants, that God has just swear up. Ah, what do you want? What do you want? Anything, just anything. Ah, you have tried. Oh, yeah, praise my name. My head was just swelling like this. So now, does that affect you? Yes, it does. When they chant your praise names, it depends on the locality you come from in the country. There's a way they would do it, and your head will swell more than your pocket, and you spend what you are meant to spend and what you are not meant to touch. So when you get home, the thing will have gone down. Your eye will now clear. Now know that, okay, I should not have listened to what he said. So now look at what this man was doing. He heard it was Jesus. He had a name. A name that preceded him, that had gone ahead of him. So notice the way what man was doing. Are you in verse 47? 46, verse 47. See what it says. Let me jump to. He began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, and he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus what? Stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man. Now, listen carefully. There was something about the way Bartimaeus called that showed he had faith that Jesus was a healer. It wasn't because he said that son of David. Mm-mm. It was something in the way he called when he kept using the phrase was, "Have mercy on me." What was that mercy? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did Bartimaeus said? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What's special about Jesus of Nazareth? He goes about. God has anointed him. What kind of anointing? Healing anointing. He goes about healing all, not some, that were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. Can you see that? So, have mercy means that thing you are carrying around, that you are reputed for, let me experience it. So, Jesus stopped. Then, to be very sure, what do you want me to do for you? And the man said that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." So, what was Jesus' name as far as Bartimaeus was concerned? The healer. Matthew 15. Are you from verse 22? "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter," notice she's also using the word son of David, "my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. Disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto what? The lordship of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take that is not right to take the children's bread and to what? Cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, what great is thy faith? Let it be unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from when? From that very hour. So what was the name of Jesus? The one who cast out devils. Even the demons are subject unto him. So when they gave them the authority to go preach, to go eat, to go raise the dead, and to cast out devils, they had seen him do it. That was where their faith was. Why were they bold? He did it in front of them. So when he says, I give you power, it was something they had seen. So they simply went around with the authority and power he gave them and were doing the same thing they saw him doing. But there's a problem. The minute he died, they ran. Because, listen, what was their faith? In what Jesus was doing. Now that the one that is doing it is dead. So, listen, their faith was not in God's word. Are you with me tonight? Their faith was in that reputation which they practically saw. That's why when Peter was in the house of Cornelius, pay attention to the way Peter wove some things together. Because when Peter came to Cornelius' house, Peter's question was this. He said, well, I came to find out why you have sent for me. Then Cornelius narrated the experience he had with the angel, how the angel sent for me, that Peter will tell you what to do. He said, okay. And then Peter opened his mouth from right there and began to preach. Then Peter said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That word I say you know, which began in Galilee. Okay? And then was published throughout. How God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth. With what? The Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and doing what? Healing all that was oppressed of the devil. But that is not where he stopped. That's Acts chapter 10. I'm quoting from Acts chapter 10. Let me read it to be precise. Acts 10. Because what did the angel say to Cornelius? Send for Peter. He will tell thee words whereby thou might be saved. Not words whereby thou might be healed. So Peter began there, but Peter did not stop there. So look at what Peter said in verse 38. So verse 39 now. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both where? In the land of the Jews. So they were eyewitnesses and Jerusalem, whom they slew and did what? Hanged on a tree, which is when they ran. Hallelujah. So the healing ministry of Jesus, his fame was a healer. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. He was into casting out devils. That was his name. That was his fame. When that stopped, they couldn't see beyond that, his death. That's why Jesus began to say, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? So the things he suffered, they couldn't see beyond the suffering. Hence, they were not expecting him to rise from the dead. That's the problem. Let me say it again. Where was their faith in the activity they saw Jesus do? Which is to heal the sick, he cast out devils before them, isn't it? Remember Mark chapter 9 experience? The woman that brought the son to disciples, when Jesus came back from the mountain and he saw them struggling, they were struggling. And Jesus said, how long will I be with you? How long will I have been training you? How long will I be with you? Then Jesus gave a command and set the young man free. Then he came to Jesus, why couldn't we cast him? I said, because of your unbelief. It was what? So they had seen Jesus do these things, practically speaking. That was where their faith was in. Their faith was in him. So when he gave them authority, they knew what he meant. They were bold to go and do it because if I say I give you authority, go and do exactly what I'm doing. I've already seen you do it. So we can do what you have done. So the minute he died, because they didn't know the scriptures, John chapter 20 says that, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he should rise from the dead. If they had known, they would not have forsaken him. Hallelujah. So look at Peter now. This is Peter. The same Peter. You know. This is Peter now. Cornelius. Can you see the boldness is different now? Yeah. We are the ones. We know. You know. He also ran when it was happening. You know, you cannot be telling people who you are just going to disciple that I also ran. You will omit that part of the. You are now an authority after many years that the Bible says you didn't know that time. What the Bible said, because it was scared you didn't know, because you also disappeared. And your disappearance was according to scripture. Okay? So, see what it says. It says, whom they slew and hanged on the tree, verse 40. Him, God raised up when? The third day. And showed him how? Openly. Can you see that? God raised up the third day and showed him when? Openly. Notice, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You know that eating and drinking is not patio. It's part of their testimony. He's a spirit. He's not a spirit. He ate fish and bread. Spirit does not eat fish and bread. Except not evil spirit. Oh my goodness. So spirit does not eat him. So Jesus said, hand to me and see. Spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see me have. He ate bread, fish. Good news for fish lovers. You can see it fish with a new body. Amen. So look at what's in now. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to what? Testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be what? The judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall what? Receive what? Remission. So which name is in verse 43 is different from the name in verse 38. Can you see it now? Hallelujah. Can you see it now? The name, the office, the reputation in verse 38 is not the name, the office, and reputation in verse 43. Because the name and office and reputation in verse 38 will heal and deal with all demonic problems. But the name and the office in verse 43 will save lives. Glory to God. What is Peter preaching? Chapter 20, John chapter 20. Are you following and putting scriptures together? Because when we explain scriptures this way, it boosts your confidence and emboldens you. You know what you are doing. It's not guesswork. That's why, please get rid of this idea that simply pronouncing the name Jesus produces difference. No. Even those who don't know him and have used his name in emergency, the reason why it worked is because they believed it worked. You know, there are many people that are unbelievers. When they were attacked the night, they used name. The name not work. Why did it work? Why did you say, my. I've discovered that there are no artists in a car accident. When there's danger, everybody calls Jesus. Everybody. Someone, this is why. They seem to have heard that the name works. They just call. Even if they don't know the details and the facts. That's the name to call. They know. That's the name to call. No other name is even sweet. You say, Moha, how? You'll be gone before you are done. You are gone. Moha. Somebody said that part of the way they pray about him is like where they want, they are praying that mercy and grace will reach him. It's in the Quran like that though. That's what they pray, that may mercy and grace reach him. And when they mention Jesus, they want that mercy and grace has reached. Is there? Ask any Muslim, they will tell you. Is there? The one that mercy and grace has reached. Is there no difference? That means you cannot lie against the truth. Even within the lie, truth must come out. Truth must come out. Right, let me divert now. John chapter 20, verse 30. John chapter 20, verse 30. Are you there? And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written where? In this book. But these are what? Written. So they were selectively written, not everything. The things that really matter that will bring about the persuasion were written. What was written? That you might believe that Jesus is the healer, the rescuer, a deliverer. What does it mean to be Christ? The Son of God. And that what? Believing you might have what? Life through is. What is his name now? His resurrection. His name is what? His resurrection. That's how to have life. Life is only available where? In his resurrection. So life to his name here means his resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting it tonight? This is important. Okay, look at Isaiah. We look at Isaiah, but look at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, because again, the difference between those utterances was to let us see the different offices it will hold by time, so that we can see the transition. And in following transition, we can see the teaching. And in following the teaching, we can arrive at the fullness of the name. Verse 14. Wherefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear what? A son. And shall call his name what? Emmanuel. I know why it was written this way. No, I know my spelling of Emmanuel is not this way. But Emmanuel was written this way. And the original meaning is Im and El. Im and El. That is God in man. Or God will become a man. And the literal translation says that this. God will be counted among men. The time will come when you take censors You will count God among men. It's serious. He's the only begotten in this sense. A time will come that when you're taking census among men, God will register. Hey. That's what that word means. God with us as one of us and among us. And when the counting census, Jesus was counted. So, ask Satan, were you counted? The thief cometh not, but to steal. Because only God can become incarnate. Only begotten. We couldn't come from the incarnation. But every one of us, hallelujah. Chapter 9. Are you there? Chapter 9. So look at that. That's the first prophecy. Look at that. That's the incarnation. Look at this other prophecy, chapter 9, verse 7. It says, of verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and then what? Unto us a son is given. So notice the transition, a child, then a son. A child, then a son. Then as a son, it says, the government shall be where? Upon his shoulders. That's resurrection. It shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Why is he called Everlasting Father? Well, there are traditions that don't have the word Father. Because Everlasting Father doesn't mean the same as God the Father. No, the word Father is actually progenitor or founder. That means whatever he will establish and found will be everlasting. So that verse does not equate him with the Father. That verse says that in his resurrection, he will establish something that will last forever. Hallelujah. So a better word is everlasting founder, or the one that founds that which is what? Everlasting. And that is resurrection. They will have life and life forevermore. Glory to God. That's who he is. So Isaiah, in Isaiah 7:14, is speaking about incarnation. In Isaiah 9, he's speaking about what? Resurrection. Not the same thing. Not the same thing. Not the same thing. A different reputation, a different standing, a different what? Accomplishment. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the same way, when Peter was preaching and he announced, first of all, the anointed one is the one that heals, the one that delivers, the one that casts out devils. But the exalted one is the one that saves men. It is through him, and there's no other name given among men whereby we might be what? Saved. Not that we might be healed. So from healing, which was a pointer to something greater, because men's bodies were being healed in his incarnation, but men's spirits were being healed in his resurrection. Glory to God. Men's spirits were being healed in the resurrection. That was the part that the disciples could not fully understand. That's why, again, when we go back to Luke 24 and verse 44, Luke 24, verse 44, and we go back there, we now begin to understand why Jesus went through that elaborate process. Because when we're using the name now, the name and his fame is now the reality of what he has accomplished. Remember, I will give you the keys of what? The kingdom. I will give you what? Access. What's access? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loose where? In heaven. Who had that authority before? Only Jesus. So when it says, I will give you the keys, it means I will bring you to that space where heaven is. Heaven will be exactly where you are. You know, when Jesus was speaking and was walking upon as incarnation, heaven was where Jesus was. Only he could converse with the unseen. Hallelujah. Many times he will startle them by making statements. He's talking to the Father. Nobody talked that way. Did you understand? So when he was telling them, I will give you keys to the kingdom, I will give you access, he's talking about the resurrection. So in resurrection, in incarnation, I am the only begotten, but in resurrection, I'll become first begotten. Or prototokos, the pattern son. The one through whom every other one becomes what? A son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, where we're going as we meditate and we pray and we declare by confessing, is realize that not only do we have the name, we are in the name. It's not borrowed property. Glory to God. The name of God is a strong tower. That's what the preacher said. The righteous run. You don't need to run into it. That's where you live. That's where you live. Who are the righteous who run into it? The Old Testament patriarchs. You don't run into it except you are running away from it. That's where you live. It's your postcode now. That's your address. That's your address. Because it's now the first begotten. Not only begotten. It's the first what? Begotten. So when he says, I will give you keys. Don't think about keys. No, there are five keys to the kingdom. Don't follow those kind of teachings. The word is access to the kingdom. And that access in his resurrection. You will have the same life. You will have the same standing. That's why in John chapter 20, when he left Mary, notice the message he told him, go to my brethren and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. What's that? Resurrection. What is he talking about? I've given you access to the kingdom. Now, whatever you pine on earth shall be found where? In heaven. So we are in heaven on earth. Glory to God. We don't ascend. We are ascended already. When he died, we died. When he rose, we rose. When he sat, we sat.
We are one with him forevermore. We are one with him forevermore. I will build my church as he built his church. The gate of heaven will build.
Because the more we understand, the more we are established, the less we will feel is in pronunciation, is in the adjectives. Don't believe that. Until you say, in the matchless name of Jesus. And I say it's matchless. In the priceless name of Jesus. In the majestic name of Jesus. You know, start adding adjectives. The name itself is an adjective. You don't have any adjective that can qualify the name. Philippians 2. We're going to stop shortly so we can pray. I love that song that says, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. What does that say? Smigusward told of a story. How God whispered to him to go to Wales. Smigusward was an apostle of faith in England. He was called the apostle of faith. He spoke about an experience where he was fellowshipping with the Lord one morning. And when we fellowship with the Lord, because he has called us in fellowship with him, we are his extensions upon earth. We are his ears and eyes and legs and hands upon earth. He's the head, we are the body. Glory to God. So when I was fellowshipping one day, God spoke to him, I want you to go to Wales and raise Lazarus. And there was a man in that place called Lazarus. He was a coal miner. After working in the coal mines for a long time, he was infected with tuberculosis and was dying. And he was one of the most fervent preachers in those days. But because of the stuff went through, he had renounced God. And he was bitter towards God. And he was sick and he was dying. In fact, because when he got there and he knocked on the door and he told them what he came to do, the person that opened the door slammed the door in his face. Say, you're not serious. You have the wrong house. Say, no. I have the right house. This is not serious. And say, no problem. Say, go upstairs and go and check. When you see him, you go back to where I come from. You know, this is a hopeless case. Say, because the man was literally bagged in just bones, skin and bones. That was all that was left. He said he knew that he needed the help of brethren. So when he went and looked for people, and to look for people, to even get people that have faith, is voila. Because everybody had resigned that way. Okay, this is your lot. So he looked for some people, and he began to pray. And he was about to persuade a few people to follow him to the room, man's room. And when he was praying and fellowship with God, God showed him exactly what to do when he got there. So he said, they held hands around the man's bed. And he said that we're only going to whisper the name of Jesus. He said, we're going to shout, we're going to whisper. Jesus. Jesus. He said, everybody there was a witness that the power of God came down on that bed, lifted that man up and shook him, and power lifted again. And man was in the same condition. He said, that happened 3 times. He said, the third time it happened and power lifted, he looked at the man, said, repent. Why don't you repent? So that God can heal you. Finally, the man broke down. I repented and asked God for forgiveness. And the power hit the next time. And man was made whole. Completely whole. So we didn't shout. So we didn't say, by shouting, let them hear you. Who is hearing you? You know, we had our own spice. We had all things that I don't know, but we just had it to you that, after you put your Holy Ghost. Yeah, I didn't say fine. Yeah. So you just had to, they've garnished other things that are not there. Imagine, just imagine Peter, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. They just added their own things. That's men trying to physically, naturally reason out the word of God. Dr. Edepo said he was in a car one day like that, and the car was about to somersault and have an accident. And he just said, Jesus. And his car stabilized. His wife was saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He says, stop. One Jesus is enough for this. One Jesus is enough for this. It's not here. It's how long you shout. I mean, there's a confidence you and I should have in that name. If he's indestructible, you are indestructible. You won't die before your time. When it's time to go home, you will choose to go home on time. When it's time, not before your time. No kidnapper can kidnap you. No bandit can take your life. No accident can snuff out your life. You operate by the power of an endless life. Glory to God. Wherever you go, be conscious of that supernatural protection. You are shielded. There are mighty beings in that name that are watching over you. You are heaven citizen now. Glory to God. You are heaven citizen now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are heaven citizen now. Now, in the same way, intelligence reports came from the U.S. and they evacuated their staff from the embassy. We also have intelligence reports from heaven. Heaven's signal is strong in our hearts. We know where to be, when to be, and how to be. We are never at the wrong place at the wrong time. We are always at the right place because there's a signal that's stronger than natural intelligence. Heaven's intelligence lives on the inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in 2023, we will shine as lights in the midst of this dark and perverse generation. Because the light of God will be strong in our hearts. We'll know exactly what to do. Our plans will be spot on. Glory to God. We won't stumble around in darkness because there's a light that shines. And darkness cannot what? Comprehend it. Glory to God. That's true. Then he said, no. A lady was kidnapped and she kept shouting. She just shouted, Jesus. And she started praying in tongues. And the vehicle was assaulted. And the people that kidnapped her were passed out. And she just came out of the vehicle. They picked the wrong one. Are the prince of this world known? They picked the wrong one. In picking Jesus, they signed their own retirement plan. In picking Jesus. Just like the high priest that took Jesus to Pilate. They were signing, we are now retired officially. They didn't know that's what they were doing. Because if they had known, they would have left him and continued. Because they didn't know that in resurrection, he become the high priest. So no more high priest. The office is now vacant. Their job is now what? Obsolete. For the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. But this man, by one offering, he has perfected forever. Glory to God. Say, I'm perfected forever. I'm God's masterpiece on the surface of the earth. I'm mightily protected. I'm never stranded. I'm not without help. God helps me in all situations. I'm mightily helped of God. And he has made me a helper of men. Glory to God. Using his name. He has made me a helper of men using his name. He gave me his name so that I, having received the help of God, can be a helper of men. I'm not the needy. I'm one that meets needs. Christ meets needs through me. Glory to God. I'm conscious. I'm an emissary of the gospel. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I have all the authority of my kingdom backing me up. Wherever I go, the works of darkness are destroyed. The works of the enemy are paralyzed. The glory of God is seen everywhere I appear. Glory to God. I'm not naked. I'm heavily clothed by the power of God. Say, I'm heavily clothed by the power of God. In the days ahead, it becomes obvious I'm clothed with heaven. Heaven's atmosphere follows me wherever I go. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet tonight and pray in the Holy Ghost.